Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of Colossians,
chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. It's in your bulletin. We have it on the screen for you. But for those of you who like to take notes, jots, and tittles, please get your own Bible app prepared. Let's see. We're going to just read right through. Let's read together. While you're doing that, let's see. I love our church because we're very international. And I always say it's a good Sunday when we have four countries represented during the testimony time. Mostly it was Japanese. So I want to get at least four languages out of our mouths. There's Merry Christmas in English. There's Christmas Omedetou in Japanese. The Matsubaras, I believe they're from China. Is there a Chinese Merry Christmas? Please tell us. Wow! Oh, okay, all right. And then, okay, 聖誕快樂. Hey, everybody, ready? Go! 聖誕快樂. Hey, all right, praise God. And then we have an eager hand here. I'm sorry? Greek. Hallelujah for the Greek. That's the New Testament. It's written in Greek. So, I'm sorry, once more, please. Kala. Christugena. Hallelujah. Ready? Ready, go. Kala Christugena. Awesome. So we have English, Japanese, Chinese, Greek. Oh, Tagalog. Tagalog. What's the Tagalog for Merry Christmas? Huh? Ano ba? Maligayang Pasko. Ready, go. Maligayang Pasko. Hallelujah. That's five. Any more? Oh, yes.
Hawaiian.
All right. Melikai Kimala. Ah, sounds like Merry Christmas. Melikai Kimala. All right, ready, go. Melikai Kimala. All right, Tenmaya. Melikai Tenmaya. And then, all right, I know we have some Koreans. Oh, Spanish. Okay, let's keep going. Well, Feliz Navidad. That's pretty easy. That's easy. French, Joyeux Noël. But Brian, Hannah, is there a Korean? if I can say that, I can speak Korean. Is that what it is? Merry Christmas, right? Okay. All right. Great. Hallelujah. That's like six, seven languages. All right. We're done. Hallelujah. All right. Let's read our Christmas passage today. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. For those of you paying attention, we missed a very important verse, verse 18. Last week we preached from verse 9 to 17. Today we're preaching 19 and 23. Next week, the last Sunday of the year, we're going to hit verse 18. So, all right, here we go. Let's read together, verse 19 through 23. Ready? Let's go. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. The very words of God. Amen. So we have the pronoun in verse 19:20, him and himself. Everybody knows who the him is, correct? The him is Jesus Christ. And so just to make that clear, this is a passage about Jesus Christ. My two eldest sons, Kyohei and Kenzo, are in kindergarten now. And the eldest, well, they both actually, during this week in kindergarten, they were making Christmas decorations like Christmas hats, Christmas stars, and Christmas socks or stockings, right? And so they brought home all of their, you know, crafts from kindergarten. And Naomi, my wife, looked at the stocking that Kyohei had drawn. And there was a Christmas tree. There was a snowman. There was a star. There was presents, you know, in crayon on the stocking. And then Naomi asked my son Kyohei, Kyohei, why is there no Jesus on your stocking? And Kyohei looked at her and said, 関係ないじゃん. And my wife said, no, it, 関係ある. I'm sorry, 関係ない means there's, Jesus has nothing to do with the Christmas stocking. And so Naomi had to explain, no, Jesus has everything to do with Christmas stocking because it's Jesus' birthday. And Kyohei was like, oh yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, Jesus has everything to do. That's the hymn here. It's Jesus, the Christmas. So the church, Christmas is about Jesus, the Son of God, becoming a human being. The Son of God becoming a human to save the world. Now, the church has had to answer two big questions throughout these two centuries about Christmas, because Christmas says that Jesus is God who became a man. So the two questions are, one, how did he become a man? How did the Son of God become a man? And the second question is, why? Why did the Son of Man come? That's the second big question. Let me give you the answers. If you're taking notes, you can write these down. Number one, how did he become a man? Very simple. It's one word, the incarnation. Man, God becomes man by taking on human skin. I have a Japanese dictionary on my iPod. I looked it up. The Japanese dictionary got it correct. It said, San Ittai no Dai Ni Me wa mo ningen se o mizukara to suru you ni shimashita. Right? God, the second person of the Trinity, took on flesh. And it said, kekkateki ni wa Kristo no gen. It was that's demonstrated in Christ Jesus. The incarnation is how we have Christmas. And number two, the reason why is called reconciliation. So we have incarnation and reconciliation. And reconciliation in Japanese is nakanaori, owakai, sort of, right? The two becoming one. Reconciliation means enemies becoming friends. Reconciliation means a situation that was hostile now becomes hospitable. Reconciliation means relationship that was separated now comes together again. That's reconciliation. That's why Jesus came. Reconciliation. And so that's what Christmas is about, reconciliation. God and sinner reconciled. We need reconciliation. The crazy thing about it is, Christians, if you're a Christian, you understand this. We are terrible at reconciliation. We have a bad record. Look, we all need reconciliation. By the way, look, if you are married, you need to know what reconciliation is. If you have kids, and they act like kids, and they're always fighting, you have to teach them reconciliation. If you're going to be with your family this holiday season, you're going to go to New Year's time with your family or have a Christmas party with your family. Every year, what happens? Somebody has a fight with somebody. There's an argument over something so silly or something so big. We need reconciliation. Some of you who have had friends, real friends, close, heart-to-heart friends for a long time. Samuel Keane said, the cadence of friendship is measured in decade-long rhythms. The rhythm of a friendship is decades long. You have a friend that's been more than 20 years, 30 years? If you do, you know you need to understand reconciliation. Most likely, you've had your fights, you've had your ups and downs, but you've had to reconcile. We need to understand reconciliation so desperately. God had to come and show us through Jesus Christ. The problem is Christians who say, yeah, we've been reconciled with God. We have so little knowledge about how to reconcile with each other, don't we? We have family members we're estranged with, separated with. We have coworkers we're still bitter against. We can't forgive them. For some reason, we can't get over it. We can't figure it out. We can't forgive. No reconciliation. We need to understand what reconciliation is. And so the world knows that too. The world knows we need to come together. In 1985, this is what, 18 years ago in Christmas. Who was alive back then? Don't raise your hand. There was a song by Michael Jackson. He called his pop star friends, his rock star friends, his punk star. And he said, let's sing for the people of Africa, Live Aid. We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's start giving, right? You know the song, right? We are the ones who make the brighter day. We are the ones who make this world a better. That's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about effort, 努力, right? Cooperation, 協力. It's about everybody holding hands, breathing together, and being one, right? And then Bob Dylan, one of the men who actually sung in that song, they came to him and they said, Bob, how do you like the song? And Bob says, I'll be honest with you, I'm not comfortable with this song. I'm not comfortable singing this song. And I said, Bob Dylan, why? Why aren't you comfortable? And he said, because man cannot save himself. So, beloved, today we look unto Bob Dylan for the true meaning of Christmas. He understood what so many of us don't understand. We cannot save ourselves. We need reconciliation. So today I'm going to demonstrate in our scripture today three things that tell us about reconciliation. One, our need. Two, the way of reconciliation. And three, the result or the effect of reconciliation, the need, the way, and the result. So Bob Dylan, he was a man who understood something, and he was trying to tell us something that God had been trying to say for centuries upon thousands of years. And he had been trying to tell us that all... Where does he tell us that? We can't save ourselves. At the very beginning. The book of Leviticus. Numbers. Deuteronomy. It's a place called the law. Now, If you've read your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know your Bible, it's okay. I'm going to explain it to you. But back then, God was telling people, this is what you need. And this is how he did it. He had this thing called the temple system. The people of Israel, out in the desert, had to have a temple, a tabernacle. That's where people gathered together to meet God. And in the middle of that tabernacle, there was called the holy place. And in the middle of the holy place was the Holy of Holies. That was the place that had the face, the panim of God. And that's where people would go to meet God. However, in order to get there, they had to do a lot of things to get ready for there. You know, in Japan, when you go to a temple, outside they've got like a kind of a bamboo pipe and there's water coming out of it. And then there's a little cup. And what do? You take the cup, you wash your hands, right? God had that set up thousands of years ago, where if you were to go to the temple, you had to wash your clothes. You had to have clothes with no dirt, no filth. It had to be a certain kind of material to be in the temple. And not just your clothes, but you had to be clean. You had to have no dirt, no excrement, no blood on your whole body. And not just but you physically had to be a whole person. No injuries, no defects, no skin problems, no diseases. You yourself had to be clean. And there's chapter after chapter after chapter of what's called these clean laws. Just to get to God, you had to be clean. And so if you read that, you think, man, this is impossible. I mean, I go in the shower, I rinse my hair, I do the soap, I do the scrub, I get all clean. I get out of the shower, 1 minute later, something happens. I missed a spot, my kids are climbing all over me, drooling all over, whatever. You just live life every day, you're going to get dirty. You get some oil, something coming up, or whatever comes out of you. And so God is trying to show us something that Bob Dylan told us a few years ago. And that is, there's something wrong with you. You're dirty. Spiritually. What God is showing through the clean laws is saying your natural condition physically is your natural condition spiritually. You're dirty physically, you get dirty spiritually. That's what I'm trying to show you with all these clean laws. Now, some of you are in here, you're looking at me and you're saying, Chris, that's backwards. That is so primitive. That is so old, that is so narrow, that is so bigoted, that is so closed-minded. We are modern. We have a different way of understanding God. God is not like that. God is loving. God is forgiving. God is merciful and kind. Yeah, it's true. So we don't need all those old laws, those arbitrary, random, unnecessary laws. Doesn't make any sense. And so I want you to look at Colossians, where Paul is saying, no. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God is holy then, God is holy now. And if man had a spiritual uncleanliness then, man has a spiritual uncleanliness now. 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, today. Bob Dylan knew it. Why don't you know it? We're unclean. We're unworthy. You know what? Let's just... Okay, I'm getting hot here. Let's put aside the Old Testament. Let's forget about the Bible just a minute, okay? Let's just talk common sense here. Reason with me. I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, not too long ago. But back then, if you had a skin problem, you know what I'm talking about? Skin problem? They didn't have so many products that you can just, you know, all of a sudden, bing, you're a Hollywood star. They didn't have Proactive or what is all these, you know, creams and gels and stuff. They didn't have that. So in junior high school, in high school, man, when the oil starts coming out and the stress starts coming on and I get something on my face, maybe on my forehead, oh, heaven forbid, on my nose, it's a catastrophe. I am not going to school. Right? That's like, it's the same as a typhoon or an earthquake, a fire, a flood. That's like, no, school is out. Mom, look at this, Mom. So, I can't, in this condition, in this state, I'm blemished. I'm unclean. I'm gross. I can't stand in front of my teachers. I can't present myself to my peers, and I can never be in front of the girls. There's, in this unclean, unpresentable condition, there's no way I can even be in the direction of the opposite sex. Junior high, high school. You know what I'm talking about, right? That's just common sense. But let's go a little bit deeper. Can I go a little bit deeper? You got human laws. Now, what is the purpose of a human law? Just society in general. What's the purpose? What's the aim of a law in humanity? Real simple, it's to live together in peace. It's to have fellowship with each other, to have good relationships, right? To be at peace with each other. That's the purpose, that's the aim. All right, now what's the content of the human law? What is that all about? What's the heart of the human law issue? How do you fulfill the human law? Very simple. You treat a human no less than a human being. Every human has a level of dignity because of their humanity. And so to insult or to break or to break the law of humanity, you have to treat a human being as less than a human. Does that make sense? Right? You treat a human being no less than a human being, you're fine. Now, you've got the purpose, you've got the content. Now let's look at the consequence. You break the law. What happens in society? Let's say that one of you, you came to my house just down the road here. You come and you break my window. You come inside. You open my drawers. And you find something of value. You're going to have to look for a long time because, you know, there's not much. But you find something. You leave my house a mess and you get out. And then 1 week later, somebody caught you and now you're in front of the judge. And so you go before the judge. The lawyer is there. He says, you broke into this man's house. You broke his, he damaged his goods. You took his things, and you left without saying hello. That's the evidence against you. And then what do you say? Sorry. Sorry, Paul. And then what does the judge say? No. That's not enough. You break the law. You have a debt to pay. You have a debt to pay the one you violated. You have a debt to society. Something has to be paid. You can't just say sorry, and then I just forgive you and you're free. That just doesn't make sense, right? Human law. Now let's flip it to God's law, divine law. What's the purpose, the aim of divine law? To live at peace with God. To live together. To be in harmony, to have fellowship, right? That's the purpose of divine law. What's the content of divine law? What's the meat of it? Real simple. You treat God as no less than God. You treat God how he deserves to be treated. What does he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, because he's God. Right? Makes sense. No Bible yet. Just common sense. Now, what happens if you break the divine law? What happens if you treat God any less than how he deserves to be treated? You say, you didn't make me, I made me. You're not my creator, I'm my creator. You're not the boss, I'm the boss. You treat God less than as he is. What are you going to do? Sorry. Can I get into heaven? Can I have eternal life? Would it make sense for God to say, okay, yeah, no problem. You treated me less than what I am. Go ahead. It's okay. Is that crazy? It doesn't make sense. But people say, no. We have evolved as a human being. We have evolved in our understanding of spirituality. God is forgiving and loving. Yes, God is forgiving and loving, but he's also holy and righteous. And he has a law that makes sense. And so you break his law, you have to pay something. There is a look, just look, right in my face. If there is a God and he made you, you have to understand you owe him a debt you can never pay. You know that, don't you? Because if he's God and he made you, your debt is infinite. And you could pay as much as you can. It will take all that you have to pay off that debt. But you'll have nothing left over in the end. Because he's God. You've broken his law. You are unworthy. You are unfit. You have unreconcilable differences. You are separated from God. You need reconciliation. Does that make sense? What I just told you is all right there in Romans chapter 1. But here it says here in what? Verse 28. And through him to reconcile to himself all things. And let's go to verse 22. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. We need reconciliation. And now Paul gives us the way to reconciliation. The way of reconciliation. And it says there, it is through the death of Jesus Christ. Now, I just spent about 15 minutes talking about the Old Testament clean sanitary system, clean laws, right? So in the Old Testament, from Leviticus, a little bit of Exodus to Leviticus, all the way to Numbers, Deuteronomy, it's a lot of laws. A lot of it is sanitary. To be clean, to show us that we need to be clean spiritually. But another part of it is sacrificial. So Leviticus is what? Sanitary laws, sacrificial laws. What happens? What am I talking about? When you came to God, you came clean, but you didn't come empty-handed. You had to have a sacrifice, and it was an animal, a male animal, without defect, no injuries, no blemishes. And what you did is you would take your hand and you'd put your hand on the head of that animal. And that animal would be your sacrifice. After you put your hand on it, you'd kill the animal, and that's the sacrifice. All of this culminates in Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus 16, where it talks about the Day of Atonement. You've heard of it maybe, Yom Kippur. In the Day of Atonement, all of Israel would come together to the tabernacle. The high priest, his name was Aaron. They would bring him two goats. Perfect goats. Male, without defect, no blemishes whatsoever. And Aaron would put his hand on one goat and he would confess the sins of the nation. He would say there has been adultery in this country. There has been theft in this country. There has been murder in this nation. There has been embezzlement. There has been all kinds of, you know, things in our country. And he confesses all of the sins of Israel onto that goat. Why? What did the goat have to do? That's the point. The goat had nothing to do with it. The goat was without blemish. It was spotless. But what is God trying to tell us? He's saying, by putting your hand on the head of that goat, the goat that had nothing wrong with it, you're putting everything that was wrong with you onto that goat. And then that goat that was innocent becomes your innocence. So there's two kinds of representation, substitution. The goat takes your guilt, and you take the goat's innocent. And what happens is one goat would be killed, and another goat would be sent away, far, far away. This is, the meaning of it is so beautiful, so deep. You just got to get into it. Leviticus, it's good stuff. It's gold right there. So that's what Paul is talking about here. It's a sacrifice. What is God saying? Look, right here, this is the point. We don't put our literal hands on a goat. Spiritually, God is saying, in your heart, you have to reach out and touch Jesus. You have to put your spiritual hands on Jesus, your sacrifice, your atonement for your sin. And what happens is when you put your hand on Jesus spiritually, he takes your sin and you get his innocence. Your sins are paid for by Jesus. That's the reconciliation we have through his body. Closing up here. In Mark chapter 5, there is a story of a woman. She had a problem of blood for, I think it was 12 years. And she had a problem with blood. Therefore, she could never go to the temple. She could never come to meet God. She could never even meet with her family. She could never meet with her friend. Because if you had a problem with blood, if you touched somebody or contacted with them, they became dirty. The unclean makes the clean unclean. So she had to live apart from everybody. She couldn't be near anybody. She tried the doctor. She tried the witch doctor. She tried. And so one day Jesus is coming along. She hears about Jesus. She said, look, I'm just going to give this a try. But she can't come right up to Jesus. She can't do that. She's dirty. So she's got to wait for the crowd to come. She waits for everybody to get around. And she's waiting. She's looking for a chance. And now everybody's crowding around Jesus. And now she's going to climb in and kind of creep in there and just kind of reach out and just kind of just touch Jesus. And what happens? Do you know the story? Her blood, her issue, her disease is healed. It's completely healed. She felt it. Jesus felt it. That's how powerful it was. Now, if you have read your Bible from Genesis to Malachi, you understand this is absolutely crazy. This is like bananas, nuts crazy, okay? Why? Two things. I just said, when the unclean touches the clean becomes dirty. That's one. And number two, when the unholy touches the holy, someone has to die. Do you know that? Do you remember that in Exodus? God comes down on Mount Sinai. There's clouds, there's smoke, there's thunder. The mountain is shaking. The mountain is holy. And God said, don't you let anybody get on this mountain. Because if they get up on this mountain, they touch it, they're going to die. when the whole unholy touches the holy. Somebody, do you remember in Exodus? Guy named Nadab and Abihu. There's the holy fire in the tabernacle. They come up and they mess around with the fire. They die. In the king's story, guy named, I can't remember his name. Nadab, I think. Oh, I can't remember. There's a guy. He reaches out and he touches the ark. Right? What happens to him? Dies. When the unholy touches the holy, somebody dies. Now, you get this woman bleeding for years and years, unholy, unclean. She comes up to Jesus, touches Jesus, the holy man. Her blood stops, and she makes him unclean. Her blood stops, his blood begins. Not right there, up on the cross, it begins. And then who dies? Who dies? Did she die? Jesus died. Because when the unholy touches the holy, someone dies. And up until this point, it was the unholy that died. No, 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 no. Jesus says, I'm bringing in a new covenant. I'm bringing a new dispensation. I'm bringing a new era. You touch me, I die, you live. You have reconciliation with God through my body, through my death on the cross. The holy has touched the unholy. That's Christmas. Reconciliation through him. I want to tell you right now, you can do that right now. You can do that today. You can do it even while I'm talking. You can say, Jesus, I'm unclean. I'm unholy. I don't deserve it. I'm unfit. You can reach out with your heart and your mind, and you can touch Jesus. He will die for you. He has died for you. You can be remade new. Look, look. Here's what happened. When back in those days, the woman, she had blood. She was dirty. She knew it. But there was like the church people, the rabbis, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. The church people thought, we are not dirty. We're church people. We're clean. We're so clean, we don't care about all the dirty people. And Jesus looked at their pride, looked at their arrogance, looked at their self-righteousness and said, y'all are farther from the gospel than they are. The pimps, the prostitutes, the poor, the leper, the dirty, the unclean, they're closer to the kingdom and you're a lot farther than they are. So look, I might be insulting some of you right now because some of you might think, I'm just fine. I'm a decent person. God should look at me and thank me for coming to this church. Oh, what would this church do without me? Oh, where would this church be without my money, my attendance, my whatever? And Jesus looks at you and says, you're so far from the kingdom. You have no idea. However, if there's some of you here who says, no, I know it. You don't know me, and you don't know what I've done. I am not even worthy to look at this cross. I'm not even worthy to open the book. I'm so unfit, so unclean, so blemished, and so dirty. There's no way God could look at me. And Jesus says to you, you're so close. You just kind of reach out and touch it. That's how close you are. And I'm praying that you do that today. Anybody, look, if you're clean, you're fine, you're a decent person, this message is not for you. You ain't got nothing to benefit from this. But if you're dirty, you're nasty, you've been defiled, oh, I reach out to you with the love of Jesus Christ. And I say, you can be reconciled with God today. Today, through the body of his cross. The way of reconciliation is in Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 22. The result, physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. There's three things. Holy, you have become holy if you've touched Jesus. Two, you have You are without blemish. You are without blemish. You're all clean. And you are free from accusation. There's no guilt on you whatsoever. There's no one pointing a finger at you. There's no one shouting at you. There's no one in your ear telling you you're dirty. There's a voice, maybe it's the enemy. There's your old conscience telling you you're not good enough. You're a sinner. If only they knew what you really are. If they only knew what you did this morning. If they only knew what you're thinking right now. You could say that's a lie. Because according to this verse, I am free from accusation through Jesus Christ. That's something you can claim. Okay? In Jesus Christ. My wife, she's not here. Good, I can talk about her. My wife, she got a haircut yesterday. I don't know if you noticed. Okay? She had hair down to here. I like long hair. But she said, can I get a haircut? And I'm like, all right. So she gets the haircut. She comes home. I look, and I said, whoa. Who is this? Well, you know, who, right? And she took my, this is really cheesy and corny, forgive me. She took my breath away, all right? She's so nice. All right, calm down, settle down, all right? That's my wife, all right? She's beautiful. That's us. God looks at you in Jesus Christ, and you are holy, free from accusation, without blemish. Amen? Amen. You are the bride of Christ. He gave his blood, and now he washes you clean to present you to himself. Beautiful, radiant, glorious. Look at Jesus Christ, the blood that flowed, and let it wash you through and through. Wash me with hyssop, and I will be clean, without blemish and free from it. That's the result. That's the result of reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just apply this, okay? Because just at the beginning of this sermon, I talked about the problems we have with a husband, with a wife, with a kid, with a child, with our own family, with our friends, how we're separated, we can't reconcile. Just quick three things before we go. The effects of the reconciliation should affect your reconciliation with your family, with your spouse, with your kids. Look, to the degree that you can't feel the reconciliation of Jesus, that's the difficulty you'll have reconciling with each other. And look, I'm guilty as much as I'm talking to myself here, okay? There's people I can't forgive. There's people I'm still trying to figure out. And Jesus says, come closer to me, Chris. Touch me even more, Chris. Come to me. Find out how much I forgive you. And receive that forgiveness and now pass it on to them. As much as I've forgiven you, you can forgive. You can do it, Chris. We only can give to the degree that we get from Jesus. That's where the reconciliation begins. Number two, we have in Jesus the model of reconciliation. Jesus shows us how to reconcile. How was that? Real simple. He went to the cross and he said, it's not about me. It's about the will of my Father. It's not about what I want. It's about what he wants. Remember the garden in the prayer? Three times he says, not my will, God, Father, your will be done. And he laid down his rights. He laid down what's rightly due to him. He laid down the respect. He laid down the honor. He laid down the power. And he said, I'm going to die. That's our model. Now, I need to be very careful here because you should not mix up one and two. You don't do that. Don't put the model before the reconciliation. You get the forgiveness first. That's what happens. That's what changes the inside. That's what transforms your heart. And you let that transform you, and then you go out and you follow Jesus. See how he does it. And I forgot what my third one is. Sorry. I remember now. The Holy Spirit. He promises us in John chapter 14 and also here I think it's in verse 23. If you continue in your faith, how do you know you're a Christian? How do I know who's going to be a Christian here? How do I know who here is a Christian? It's very simple. The ones who continue. The ones who continue. There's going to be people that come and then go. There's people that say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, on one day. Tomorrow, they're cursing God. They were never Christians. It's the ones who continue. But how do you continue? John chapter 14. I'm going to give you the paraclete. I'm going to give you the counselor. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that's inside of you. Giving you the ability to forgive. Giving you the timing to reconcile. For many of us, reconciliation, we want to reconcile. We want to forgive. We want to figure this out. And so we're going, God, I need wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God and let him not doubt. Some of us, we need to know when. We need to know what the words, what to say. We need to know what not to say. We need to know how to say it and how not. Holy Spirit, I need your help. And Jesus says, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, I'm happy to give him to you. If you ask for wisdom, I'm happy to give it to you. That's the third one. We have the Holy Spirit for the ministry of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Jesus says, I've given you so much reconciliation, you are now ambassadors of reconciliation. You are ambassadors of peace. I want to figure out what that means. I'm really trying to do that. I want to learn. Oh, Jesus, teach me. Oh, Lord, show me how to be an ambassador. Lord, show me what it means. Holy Spirit, guide me in reconciliation. I'm starting to pray right now. Would you join me in prayer? Can we pray? Let's pray. Lord God, so many of us are in enmity. We are strangers. We are outside. Lord, we need to be friends again. First of all, with you. Lord, we're filthy, we're dirty, we know it. But Lord, you said we're so close. I pray for us, Lord. We need to reach out and touch you. I pray that we would do that today. And I pray that as we touch you, your holiness would get on us. Your righteousness would come on us, Lord God. Your perfection would cover our imperfection. And Lord, we could be reconciled with you once more. And then Lord, for those here with family, with friends, with spouses, with fathers, with children, with coworkers, we just want peace, God. We want to figure it out. We want to get over it. But Lord, we need your help. Oh God, we cry out to you. And we ask for the wisdom, Lord, to carry out what you've called us to do. Oh God, we love you. We need you. And then we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.